And that's what it's all about, brethren. All the trials and all the troubles. Lord will do things to make it all worth it. Amen? All right, and we're continuing in Luke now, Luke chapter 5. And I went into Luke chapter 5, familiar with this passage of Scripture. Pretty much had a good idea what I was going to preach anyways before I even got into it. And the Lord just, he pulled one on me and just took me in a completely different direction than where I thought we was going. But that's all right. At least I know it's the Lord. And this, you'll have to blame this message on God. I had nothing to do with this one. Luke chapter 5 this morning. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Many like that. Many like that, Lord. Not me. I didn't become a Christian until I was 25. And one of the things that kept me from getting saved for a long time was, not me, I'm not worthy. Not me, I could never live a Christian life. I couldn't be like one of those Christians. I'm too bad. But I noticed the Lord didn't depart. He ain't going anywhere. He ain't going to leave you alone. He's not going to depart. You can't just say, Lord, I'm no good, I'm not worthy, leave me alone. He's not going to depart. He ain't left you alone yet, and he's not going to. Amen. That's side note, that's free, that's not part of the message. That was just for you from the Lord. Verse 9. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. And in this passage here, we have Peter and the other guys, Peter with his brother Andrew and James and John, and they're all partners together in this little fishing company that they got, and they've been fishing all night long. Haven't caught a thing. Not a thing. Waste of time. Fish aren't there. And they're about ready to pack it in, as you can tell. Their ships are ashore. They're washing their nets. They're about ready to call it a day. They're going to go home and go to sleep. All of a sudden, they hear a ruckus. And here comes this Jesus that everybody's been talking about. And all these people are around Jesus Christ to hear him preach, to hear him teach the Bible. And Jesus looks over at Simon Peter. He says, hey man, let me borrow your boat. And he gets on Simon Peter's boat and has Simon launch that thing out. And they go probably a distance for maybe here to that wall back there, from me to that wall back there away, and the Lord's just right out there in that water on that boat so that he can teach all the people, and all the people are just right there on that shore. And the Lord's sitting in the boat teaching and preaching the Word of God to those people. And when he finishes, he gets done, they're all heading away, service is over. Jesus looks at Peter. He says, "Hey, Simon, let's go out a little more. I want you to let down your net so we can catch some fish." And Simon Peter, his way is to never do what that quote of the week was for this week. Amen? Simon Peter never knows how to keep his mouth shut. That's Simon. And Simon is the one guy out of all the disciples that the Lord spends more time talking about. He has an individual dealing with Simon. You understand Andrew's on that boat with Simon? Andrew's not mentioned. It's always Simon Peter. And it's almost like the Lord has used Simon Peter out of all those disciples to get into that personal dealings between the Lord and an individual. And he does that with Simon Peter like he does with none of the other disciples. And here, while he's on that boat with Simon Peter, he says, "Simon, go ahead, let's go out a little deeper. I want you to throw that net out. We're going to catch some fish." And of course, Peter's response is, "Hey, Lord, you don't know what you're talking about. We've been out here. You probably aren't aware of this, Lord. This probably hasn't dawned on you. But Lord, we've been fishing all night long. We haven't caught a blessed thing. You're going to ask me now to waste my time when I could be going home trying to get some rest before I got to go out fishing again. You're asking me to waste my time and throw out this net again." See, that's Peter. But then if you look at that verse there, look at verse 4 and 5, and all of a sudden you come to this thing called a colon. Not in your body, but, you know, in English, a colon. And then Peter says this word, "Nevertheless." "Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let out the net." Now, what happened between what Peter says in the first part of that verse and then that colon and that "nevertheless" that makes Peter change his mind? You understand? Peter, what? Let out the net for a drop? We've been fishing all night. We haven't caught a thing. "Nevertheless, at thy word," what happened? Did the Lord say anything? No, the Lord didn't say anything. I believe what the Lord did is just simply looked at Peter. Just looked at him. You know, you can say a lot with just a look. My dad had a very loud voice. I didn't get that from him. Very boisterous. But the loudest things my dad ever said to me were not said with words. They were said with a look. You ever get one of those looks? You ever get one from mom or dad, that look? They don't have to say a thing. I've had my kids, they'll say something, and then all of a sudden they'll say, "Well, what did I do?" I haven't said anything to them. Why are they saying, "Well, what did I do?" Say, "What'd you do?" I looked at them, and they knew. They could feel it. They could see it. And speak in volumes without saying a word, by a look. You young people, you know what I'm talking about. When mama looks at you just that certain way, you know things aren't quite right with the world. Husbands, you know. You know, she don't have to say a thing, buddy. She just gives you that look. You know. Amen? Listen, you can say a lot with just a look. And when Simon Peter says that, I truly believe all the Lord Jesus Christ did on that boat is just look over at Simon Peter. "But we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught a thing. Nevertheless, to thy word," well, what's going on? A look. Just a look from the Lord. Now, you understand, when Jesus was looking at someone, who Jesus was, God manifest in the flesh? How would you like to have those eyes look at you? The Bible says they are. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. People think they can hide from the Lord, run from the Lord. You can't. He sees. Lord ever given you a certain look? Lord just looked at Peter. Now I'm going to preach this morning on just that, just a look from the Lord. And in this passage here, I think you get one of those, oh, really, looks? One of those, why don't you believe me? Why don't you trust me? Looks. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, the Lord just looks at Peter like, are you kidding me? Have you not been in this boat? Have you not been hearing my word? Have you not realized the authority and the power that I have? He said all that without saying it. He said all that with just a look. And the Lord looks at Peter, and all of a sudden Peter goes, nevertheless, at thy word, okay, all right, you're right, see? And he puts out that net, and what happens? He catches more fish, brethren, in 1 minute than he had caught at any one fishing trip ever in his life, and he's a commercial fisherman. And he sees that, and he falls at Christ's knees. I mean, it changed Peter's life. So what did? Just a look. You ever have just give you that look? Now I understand this. I'm talking spiritually. I realize Jesus doesn't show up in your bedroom and look at you. Okay? If you think he does, there's medicine for that. Okay? We'll help you. Now, but you understand. Stay with me. I'm talking spiritually, but you can sense it. You can sense that look. You ever have the Lord look at you? Maybe he's looked at you like that. Really? Are you serious? Don't you trust me? He ever looked at you that way? You ever question what God said because you thought you knew better? That's Peter. That's what Peter was doing until Jesus gave him that look. Hey, brethren, is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything too hard for the Lord? You know, the Lord does that look to Peter again, I believe. Calls Peter, well, Peter, you know you're going to deny me. No, I'll never deny you. And he gives him that look. Really? You sure about that? Before the cock crow thrice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Gave him that same look. Really? You say you believe my word? You say you trust me? Really? Really? Give him that look. Lord ever given you that look? Peter knew that look. You ever say, well, you know, I've been looking for a right job, but I just don't think the Lord's going to do it. Really? Well, I just don't see how I'm ever going to be able to pay the bills. Really? I've been looking for a place to live, but I really don't think the Lord's going to be able to come through for me. Really? Oh, I'm a Bible believer. Really? Really? Are you? See, we say we're Bible believers. Do you really believe what God said in that book? Really? Well, Brother Ray, you don't understand. I just can't afford to tithe right now. Really? And what you mean is you can't afford not to. But see, that comes down to what? Trust. What Jesus told Peter made no sense at all. Peter's a fisherman. Jesus isn't a fisherman. Peter's a fisherman. He's been out on them waters. years of his life. He'd been fishing all night. Throw out your net. We just cleaned the nets. Lord says, well, do you want me to bless you or not? I wonder how many times Christians miss out on an opportunity for a great haul of fish. Because they were looking too much at the circumstances instead of just trusting what the Lord said. You know what we need sometimes? We need that look from the Lord. I thought you trusted me. I thought you believed me. You ever get that look? You ever get that look from the Lord? O ye of little faith. You ever get that look from the Lord? Why don't you believe me? Just trust me. I mean, look at Israel. They're standing there. Pharaoh and his army chasing them, and they're stuck at the Red Sea, and God stops the Red Sea over here, opens it up over here. You got a wall of water as high as the ceiling on either side. And God says, y'all go forward. And they do with their kids. That water could have come through at any time. It could have fallen at any time. You know what they had to do? They had to totally trust God. And they did. They did. And look what God did. Brought them all through, took care of Pharaoh and his army. God sends the spies into Kadesh Barnea. Go in and take the land. But there's giants. We can't do it. So what? They didn't believe him. They didn't trust him. Oh, I believe the Bible. Do you really? Really? Lord ever given you that look? Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, here's another look from the Lord. And this is a good look. This is one of those way to go looks. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Wow, could you imagine the Lord saying that to you? Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed on heaven. Man, can you imagine what Peter felt like at that time? I mean, all the disciples are there, just like on the shore of Galilee, and the Lord picks Peter's boat. And here, who say you that I am? Peter opens his mouth first, as always. But he says the right thing. And he says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus looks at Simon Peter with that look of, way to go, Peter. Good job. Outstanding. Amen. Lord ever given you that look? Man, that's a good look to get from the Lord. I like that. I like it when the Lord looks at you and says, hey, keep it up. Hey, you're going in the right direction. Sometimes we need that encouragement from the Lord, and the Lord will give it. The Lord will say, you've been going in the right direction. You're doing well. You're doing well. Keep it up. Good to get that look. I used to like getting that look from my dad. Well, I used to like getting that look from my wrestling coach. Amen. I used to like getting that look from my bosses. That look of, you know, congratulatory look of, hey, you're doing good. You're doing good. Have my dad look at me and say, son, I'm proud of you. You're doing good. You've done well for yourself. That's a good look to get. You know, we talked about that this morning in that parable. How about if the Lord one day looks at us and says, well done. I mean, the Lord, with those eyes, looks at you and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." How about that look? Wouldn't you like to get that look from the Lord? Boy, it's worth everything to get that look from God. It's worth everything when He's able to look at you and do that. Well done. Hey, you help out a brother or sister in the Lord without blowing a trumpet, you know. You just do it to be a blessing, to help out a brother or sister, and the Lord sees that, He'll give you that look. The Lord likes that. He'll say, "Well done. You're doing well. Keep it up. Good job." You ever get to win a soul to Christ? I bet some in here, you've never had an opportunity to win a soul to Christ. You ought to. Man, there's nothing like it. Best thing out of getting saved is getting someone else saved. I'll tell you what, you lead someone else to the Lord, you'll get that look from the Lord. You might not see it, you might not realize it. But hey, there's rejoicing in heaven in the sight of the angels when someone gets saved like that. You lead a soul to Christ. How about when the Lord answers some prayer that you've been sticking at and praying over for months and months and months, maybe years. And then finally the Lord answers that thing. You get that look. Hey, way to stay with it. Way to keep praying. Amen? And then see the Lord answer that prayer. How about when you go to church when you don't feel like it? Which for some is all the time, I understand. But have you ever just had those times where it was just not tonight, not today? Too much going on, whatever, I'm too tired, this, that, with the other. You got some excuse, and there's thousands of them. Most people take advantage of. That's why most people aren't here. Amen. But for those of you that are, you decided to come. Maybe you really thought, maybe this isn't a good day to come to church. You came anyway. I found those days when you do that, you'll get that look from the Lord. Usually the times when you don't really feel like being in church, you're going to find out that those were the times you really needed to be there. You with me? You understand? See? And the Lord will give you that look. He'll let you know, "Well done. Good job." You ever read all the way through your Bible? In the revolution all the way through. And the Lord give you that look. That look of accomplishment. That congratulatory look of, "Hey, good job." You ever get to disciple a young Christian and watch them grow and then see fruit come out in their life? You get that look. That look. But there's another look you can get from the Lord. Stay there in Matthew 16. Look down just a few verses. Verse 21. "And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter," here he is again, "then Peter took him and began to rebuke him," he's going to straighten out God, "saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This thing shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter," he turned and said, he's looking at him. He's looking right at him. What does he say to Peter? "Get thee behind me, Satan." You talk about a rebuke. "For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man." After he had just got done saying, "Well done," now he turns around and he's calling, telling you, "You better get the devil out of you, boy." That's a look of anger. You don't want to get that look from the Lord. You don't want to get that look. The Bible says when Jesus saw those Pharisees after he had healed a man on the Sabbath day, and they're more worried about the fact that he did it on the Sabbath than thrilled with the fact that that man got healed, the Bible says Jesus looked on them with anger. I wonder what kind of look that was. See, that ain't no blonde-haired, sissy-britched Jesus of Hollywood. You understand? That's the Jesus of the Bible. And he turned around and looked at those Pharisees with anger. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you know how the Lord looks at you? He looks at you with anger. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. That's how he's looking at you. You're his enemy because you've sinned. God's holy. God's pure. You think he's going to let you into heaven? He laid down his life on the cross for you, and you spit on him. You mock him. Look on you with anger. One day he's going to say to a bunch of people, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." You'll get that look from the Lord. Is that what you want? I wouldn't want that look. The Bible says we're enemies against God until we're saved by wicked works. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, Marvel Comics, they've been out for years and years and years. And of course, one of their big superheroes, you all, I'm sure, have heard of him, and that's the Incredible Hulk, the big green monster guy. And he's just a normal guy, but then he turns into the Incredible Hulk. You know what makes him turn into the Incredible Hulk? He says, "You don't want to make me angry." You know what the Lord says? "You don't want to make me angry." And he'll give them that look of anger. My boys seen that look. They don't like that look. You know what happens when they get that look? They know what's coming. The Lord will look on them with that look. Angry. God is angry with the wicked every day. I saw a bumper sticker and it said, "Jesus is coming back, and boy is he mad." Amen. He comes back in those eyes, in flaming fire. Angry. Angry. You say, "Well, that's the lost people, Brother Ray. We understand Jesus gets angry with them." Yeah, he can get angry at Christians too. We just don't go to hell for it. But, buddy, he'll take that rod. He'll chasten. You think when Jesus went into the temple to cleanse the temple, you think he went in there skipping like a Girl Scout with his pretty blonde hair? Jesus went in there with that whip, buddy, and went to town. Took care of business. You ever seen that Jesus? That's the Jesus of the Bible. That's what he thinks about you and your sin. Get that look. That look of anger. Now look over with me, please, in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and we see another look. And here, Peter has now, after all the ups and downs, Peter's gotten to the place where he told the Lord, "I'll never deny you. All other men will deny you. Pfft, not me." Jesus says, "Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will. You'll deny me. And then when you do, you're going to hear that rooster let out a rip and rip out a cock-a-doodle-doo. And it'll come to your mind what I said unto you." Look at that thing in verse 56. Luke 22 and verse 56. "But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, 'This man was also with him.'" And watch it. "And he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter says, 'Man, I am not.' About the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he spake, what happened? The cock crew. Now remember, Jesus had come into that place. He was invited with John. John knew the fellow in charge with the high priest, got him in. So Peter's in there. Jesus has been taken, being whipped and scourged now, and he's going to be brought back in the judgment hall just morning time, and they're going to bring Jesus back now to stand before Pilate. And as that thing happens, notice verse 61. "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter." Just a look. They got Jesus bound. His face all bloody. They're taking him now. They're leading him. The soldiers are leading him out to be brought before Pilate. And Peter's out there, the one that said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never deny you." And that third time he denies him, and that rooster lets out. And Peter hears that thing, and he looks up, and here comes those soldiers with Jesus. And Jesus turns and looks upon Peter with that look of disappointment. You ever get that look from the Lord? You ever get that look? Boy, that's a rough one. That's a rough one. "You let me down, Peter. We're going to go out and play some softball today. Maybe it'll get down to the ninth inning, and there'll be two outs. And you're up by a run, and two guys are on base, and that ball's going to come right to you out in the outfield. And just as it gets right there, it's going to hit the edge of that glove. You know you have it. And it rattles off the glove and it drops on the ground. And then everybody on your team's going to give you that look. You drop the ball." You ever drop the ball? You ever got a little confident, a little cocky, and, "Man, I got victory now," and you drop the ball, and then the Lord looks at you, gives you that look? That's a rough look to get from the Lord, isn't it? I hate getting that look. I know Peter did. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. That got to Peter, buddy. Lord, he got to him with that look. Now look in John 21, and we'll see if we can tie this thing off. John 21. Notice in verse 2, Jesus has gone to the cross now. Peter's still out of sorts with the Lord. Jesus risen again, showed himself already to Peter. But there ain't been any words yet. Verse 2, "There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing." See, where is he? He's right back where he started in Luke 5. And right back where he started when he first met the Lord. "I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing." You know, when you get to those times in your life when nothing's going right, it might be the Lord's trying to show you something. Just a thought. Because both times when the Lord's getting to do something in Peter's life, Peter had to go through that night of no fish, no blessing, darkness. No reward. Wasted time. Wasted days. Verse 4. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They've been fishing all night. They cast, therefore. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Isn't it good when the Lord blesses? It's the same exact story, but it's not the same story. This 3.5 years later. Verse 7, Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Look at all those fish. We remember that. We remember the last time when we just did what he said. And look how he blessed. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. He right back where he was before. Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. And the other disciples came, a little ship, for they were far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Look at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter. They haven't talked for a while. You get those times where there's just not a lot of communion between you and the Lord. And I can tell you this, when that happens, it's not the Lord's fault. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, the son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Doesn't he? Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verse 19, This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, to Peter, Follow me. You know, Jesus could have rightly just ignored Peter. If Jesus had never spoken another word to Peter, Jesus would have been justified in doing so. After Peter denied him, here's Jesus going to head into the cross to die for him. And Peter denies him. And some of you, you've been alive for years, the Lord's given you time, and you've still denied him. You've still turned him down. He ought to just walk right on by. He ought to just forget all about you. How many of you got saved after you were 30 years old? Raise your hand. You were over 30. Raise it high so we can see. 1, 2, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Ain't none of you should be saved. No way. You had your chance. Didn't you? And yet here you are. In the Lord something. See, well, that's that look of love. That look of forgiveness. That look of mercy. That look of compassion. That could only come from the eyes of Jesus Christ. After Simon denying him, the Lord still come to him and say, How about it? How about it, Simon? Are you ready now? How about it? And then grieves Peter. Do you love me? Yeah, Lord, you know I'm... No, really, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. The third time. Why three times? He denied him three times. So what's he? Why is Jesus bringing that sin back up? Because it's got to get dealt with. Nothing gets dealt with until that gets dealt with. And he dealt with that sin, see. The Lord will do it in love. He'll do it in mercy. He's forgiving. He's compassionate. When Jesus came to that woman caught in adultery and all those guys wanted her to be stoned, not Jesus. He had mercy. Where are those thine accusers, woman? I don't know. They're all gone. Neither do I condemn thee. But then he said these words, go and sin no more. The Lord doesn't excuse sin. The Lord doesn't encourage us to live wicked. But at the same time, the Lord is very merciful, very long-suffering, very compassionate. Could you imagine those eyes looking on Peter when Jesus is saying that? Can you imagine those eyes? Do you love me? After the disappointment, after the anger, and yet the Lord would still come there and invite him to live for him. And then what does he say, verse 19? Follow me. Follow me. Look back in Luke chapter 5. And we'll close it off here. Luke 5. And right here in Luke 5, right back there. Where Peter first gave, or where Jesus first gave Peter that look. Do you trust me? This time, do you love me? See, we say we love the Lord. We say we trust the Lord. He gives you that look. We'll find out. What happens in verse 11? And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What happens in John chapter 1 after the Lord gives him that look? He follows him. Next time we find Peter, you know what he's doing? He's preaching with the power of the Holy Ghost. And 3,000 people get saved. What brought about such a change in Peter? I'll tell you what it was. It was just a look from the Lord. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I pray you bless the message and pray someone here, Lord, needs to look your way and see that look from you, whatever look it might be. I pray, Lord, that everyone here would know that you are looking at them. And I pray they'd be honest with you in what you see and what they see. Do a work in hearts now, Father. I ask and pray it. In Jesus' name, let's continue in prayer. Let's just pray with our heads bowed and eyes closed. You know the result every time from that look was repentance? Repentance. That's what the Lord's looking for. Repentance. Do a U-turn, buddy. It's never too late to do a U-turn in your life. I like it when we get that you're doing a good job look from the Lord. Amen? Keep it up. Keep it up. You go in the right direction. Keep it up. Don't quit. It's good to get that look from the Lord. But sometimes we get that, why don't you believe me? Why don't you trust me? That, oh, really, look. Maybe it's that, why don't you love me? Look. Sometimes it's a look of disappointment. a look of anger. You can say a lot with a look. You know, today I find a lot of people, you shake their hand, and they can't even look at you. They can't look at you eye to eye. If the Lord was to come your way right now and take you by the hand, would you be able to look at Him eye to eye? How would He be looking at you? Would He be angry? Would it be disappointing? If He is, I can tell you right now, He'll give you that look of love, that look of forgiveness. All you got to do is look back at Him. Do what Peter did. Be willing to forsake all and follow Him. Be willing to fall down at His feet as a sinful person. Realize only the Lord can save you. You can't save yourself. You can't forgive yourself. And what's going to make the change is that look from you, that look of repentance. Lord, I love you. Lord, I'll forsake all and follow you. Can I ask you a question? We're all praying right now. Nobody's looking around. Can I ask you a question? Are you going to heaven? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Those of us who are saved, we're going to heaven because Jesus Christ is our Savior. We're not going to heaven because we've done anything. I ought to be in hell right now with the gate shut, but I'm going to heaven. Because one day, me and the Lord did business. One day, me and Jesus Christ met up. And all it took was a look. You know, we sing a song, it's called Look and Live. Why don't you look to Christ right now and say, Lord, why don't you save me? I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. And I know only you can bring me there. You know how you get become a Christian? That's how. Oh, it can't be that easy. It's that easy. You don't deserve to go. You never will deserve to go. But you realize Jesus came to save you and bring you there when you couldn't get there on your own. Is that you? Then right now from your heart, say, Lord Jesus, save me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you that you're alive, you rose from the dead. Would you please save my soul? And give me the free gift of eternal life. Why don't you say that right now as we're praying? You just pray that to Jesus right now. Lord Jesus, would you please save me? Just invite Him into your heart. He'll come in. He's just waiting for the invitation. Have you made room? Have you made room on your boat, on your vessel, for Jesus Christ? That's always where it'll start. Would you make room for Him now? No reason He should have ever even come our way. He would have been perfectly just, keep walking the other direction. Yet He's come your way today. He's come by your boat today. Why don't you let Him on board? Why don't you let Him be the Lord of your life? He wants to be. And it's not too late. Brother Henry, would you close us in prayer?